Okay, be all set? Okay. Hello, everybody. Oops. I'd like to welcome you to the September 15th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. And tonight, I believe we have some students who are going to be leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. First of all, would you mind standing up and introducing yourselves real quick? All right. Well, thank you so much. And if everybody will stand, then you can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. All right. All set? Okay. Right now, I would accept a motion to approve our agenda for the meeting tonight.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers, second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next up, we have a couple of presentations. We're going to be starting out with Mrs. Mankins and Ashley?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
So first I'd like to show off a little bit. You've heard me talk quite a bit about working with the KnowledgeWorks team. So several of them are here today. Robin and Brenda and Lori have kind of been our thought partners in the process with moving to a personalized learning and competency-based platform. And as well, Ashley, who is a familiar face to us, but switched roles this year. So she is now the CBE coach for the district. So she's kind of taken that lead and running with that. So pretty powerful team right there in front of you. What we have planned for you tonight is to kind of go over a little bit of how we kicked off the school year with admin retreat and at convocation and really kind of lay the groundwork for why we are where we are and looking at personalized learning. And then I will be turning it over to the rest of the team to kind of finish that up with what we've done so far this year and where we're headed a little bit.
Great.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So some of you will remember that when I came, one of the first tasks that I really set out to accomplish was to ask two questions. And I met with numerous community group, teacher group, parents, some students, actually. And we ask two questions. We ask, what are you most proud of? And that could be several things. They could give as many answers to that as they wanted. And the other question was, if you had a magic wand and you could change one thing, what would it be? I produced about an 11-page report for the board, I think in November, December of that time, kind of reporting out what the trends were with that information, what people were seeing and sensing and kind of their passions around the district. Points of pride, in particular, were people. Everyone thought that, in general, we had a very, very supportive community, that we had great kids, that we had a solid staff, that were willing to try new things, that we had a good administration. So really, people came to the surface as a highlight. Special education, there's a sense that people were moving here because of the special education services that we were offering. As well, they were very proud and positive about our academic and extracurricular programs that we offered. Facilities came forward, even though some of our facilities were aging. They were very clean and well kept. They felt that kind of that deferred maintenance was starting to catch up with us, but we're pretty impressed with our overall buildings and grounds of the district. Family involvement, particularly at the building level surface, that we had a lot of parents and families involved, things like the Scarecrow Night in the Valley surface, so different activities like that. As well, they thought that our district was safe. They felt that we lived in a safe community, our buildings were safe, and they were proud of that. As well, academic performance. So they continued to not talk as much about the school report card, but more about kind of that overall landscape of academic performance and AP opportunities and dual enrollment opportunities and along those lines. You'll see technology, the Y has fallen off here. And in the original presentation, there is a video where Chris Dice falls over in the middle of the hallway. I took that off, but the Y is still hanging, but that's why. So. Areas of concern were pay to participate, resources, drugs. They felt also that we needed a stronger science curriculum, that we could make some more ties with business groups, that our salary and personnel levels were not where we wanted them to be, that also there was a sense that everyone was working really hard, but we weren't sure that our arrows were all headed the same direction. Overarching theme at that time was funding. We had been on the ballot several times, this continual theme of coming back. Empty buildings, technology, that included training for teachers as well as devices for students. And then there was also this category that I just called special students, and I'll explain that a little more. Not as much about special ed, but what about everybody else? And what about kids who didn't quite qualify, or maybe they were really bright and didn't quite qualify for gifted? So kind of those in-between students. And as well, RTI. We had kind of tried to establish RTI, it seemed like, in the past, but we could never get the right traction behind it and kind of get the buildings on the same page. So I'm going to kind of go through each one of those and talk about where we are with those areas of concern today. So as you know, this spring we passed a new policy where parents, the family cap is $600. We haven't had a cap before. And then we also looked at the pay-to-participate fees for free and reduced, or free, I'm sorry, lunch students, taking that down to 100 with a family cap of 300. So that was a significant change for the district. Resources, really, what we've done is not focus as much on getting a textbook, but what are the resources that will help impact instruction in your classroom and make the standards. So that may look different than our traditional English textbook, social studies textbook. And we now have a 5-year adoption cycle. So every department knows when their time is up, and there's a process leading up to that year of purchase. So 1 year is PD, 1 year is piloting different programs. So teachers are highly embedded in that process. The next one is drugs. Certainly, I'm not going to stand in front of you and say the drug problem is solved, but I would like to. One of our struggles, I believe, we had a bunch of people trying to force down what that was going to look like, and we really needed a more grassroots kind of approach. And Sean Williams, and I know Amy's been involved with the Start Talking campaign and Above the Influence campaign. You'll see our high school students pictures and other buildings. So that's really helped kick off and get that kind of momentum that we needed. So we're happy with that, and I think Amy's going to talk about another opportunity in a little bit that's coming as well. Science curriculum. So we really looked at increasing AP offerings, STEM opportunities, K-12. We know that we have more AP courses than ever and more kids enrolled in multiple AP courses than ever. So, and many of those in the science area, so trying to increase that rigor. Lack of business relations, I think this is one we even have talked about continually that is a significant difference. Tom and I actually just went to Audubon and talked about some opportunities for the high school this past week, but we've been able to partner with different groups, and really the challenge of principals is to think about two-way partnerships, that this isn't us going to the industry asking for something, but what can we also give back to you? So we're pleased with our progress there. We talk about personnel and salary. For the first time in about 10 years, we are able to offer all employee groups a three-year package. And it's been quite some time since we've been able to do that, so we're pretty proud of that. And as you know, we just finished negotiations with teachers in the summer, spring, and I feel positive about that and that working relationship and partnership with them as well. Planning and direction. So we spent a long time working on a strategic plan that was highly embedded with community partners and leaders in the community and parents. This is our new tagline and logo that was a result of that. But as you know, that's now our strategic plan encompasses my goals. It encompasses the Board of Education goals, the principal's goals, and on down the tree. So those arrows are starting to align. Funding. So I stole some of Todd's slides that you've already seen, so maybe I won't spend too much time on those. But it's certainly a better position than the district has been in quite some time. If you look back to 2004, this is our ending cash balance from kind of a landscape over that time frame. We also believe that the best is yet to come. We believe that the funding formula for the state will continue to impact us in a positive way. Again, we did not have a cash balance policy, so we also have a finance committee that helps gauge that. So if you can, I'm sure you guys remember this presentation from Tom as well, but kind of look at the red line across there is our cash balance policy, and you can see really we would not have made it very many years if we had had that policy in the past, so we feel pretty good about that. I say that, and at the same time, we've added all of these programs. So if you go back and think about where we've been and what we've been able to add, and we're still looking at a financial forecast of that is pretty impressive. We've added all-day, everyday kindergarten, which has been a substantial change for the district. Early college high school, we know that part of that was through a grant to get it started. We've been able to change the pay to participate. Additionally, we've changed the busing radius so we can bus more kids than ever. We've added Japanese. We've also increased high school credit opportunities at the middle school. So students who qualify for those classes can start working on their high school transcript at that time. We've also restructured K-3 literacy. I know we had Steve here in the spring and talked about some of the changes with that, and also instituted one-to-one blended learning. So in the midst of kind of making significant change, we've been able to add lots of programs to what we already had and still stay in a positive cash area. I think the other thing to note is that unfortunately we know we had to reduce several staff members shortly after I came, and now you can see that we're back in a position that were, I believe, one staff member short of our staffing level at that time. Now, a majority of those positions come from all-day, everyday kindergarten, but I think it's important to see that as well, that we're getting back to the level that we were at that time. Expenditures, basically this slide just shows since 2004 to 2016, our expenditures have stayed relatively flat. So even though there's been inflation factors in all those different pieces, and we've been able to add staff, we're still kind of flat in our expenditures, which is positive as well. Empty buildings. So obviously, there were people upset in the community, even though the Hope Center was occupied, and for a good reason, but they thought it should have never been empty in the first place. And then when I came, the old high school, middle school was vacant. We're now making use of that with the early college high school. Certainly, we would not have been able to do that if we did not receive this substantial grant from the Straight A Fund. Technology. So as of today, in the district, all 5th graders, all 7th graders, all 10th graders, and all 11th graders have one-to-one devices. Within 2 years, K-4 will also be about 2-to-1. Actually, in admin council this morning, the principals at the elementaries were already commenting on how much more technology they had. And as those rotations continue through, they increase as well. They get basically Creekview will keep their devices for 2 years, and then they rotate down to the elementary. So each year there will be about 8 or 9 carts that go down to the elementary schools as well. So RTI. We made some staffing changes. Mark Gallagher moved into a role to lead that for the district. Also, Steve Griffin has taken the lead, and we're seeing some significant change as well. I think principals will tell you they're feeling much better about where we're headed and common vision, especially at the elementaries, for that process. And the last one comes to special students, and this was kind of this larger context about everybody else, right? And so as I started to reflect on what we've accomplished the past 4 years, really to me it came up, well, isn't everybody special, right? It's just not special students, everybody's special, and that every kid that comes to Marysville deserves an increased sense of purpose, belonging. We know in our HOPE survey that we do, we have students that do not feel engaged with teachers. They don't feel like they have a sense of purpose or belonging. So that's kind of the focus as we're headed into this year, that's the area we still need to get a better pulse with. So the activity I had principals and teachers do at convocation is take a look at these faces, and then I would like you guys to tell me which one doesn't deserve a better sense of belonging or acceptance in a school district. Now, I hope that your answer is no one, right? And I did say to principals, if you can pick somebody, we need to meet in the hallway pretty quickly. So, but really what our shift is the thought of, you know, when we get our school report card and we look at that data, in general, we're meeting the needs of all kids, but we're not meeting the needs of every kid, right? Every single kid. We're meeting the larger group, but not those individual students along the way. So it's about putting kids first. Our call to action really is ensuring every student is special, that they're receiving an individualized, personalized learning plan that addresses their needs at their time. Just because you're in third grade, I'll give you a great example. We started iReady assessments, and a teacher called me in. She's like, I've been in here for 2 hours with this kid. Well, it was a third grade kid testing at ninth grade math. So that kid deserves ninth grade math. We need to have him engaged. And so a whole new way of thinking about how we're approaching the classroom. It really, I think Ashley's going to kick off here in a second, but really looking at creating personalized conditions in the classroom. So the example I just gave, and certainly one-to-one technology, blended opportunities lend itself into that as well.
So we're kind of working together. I'm working, like Diane said, with Knowledge Works to kind of thought partner to create something that is customized for every kid. And we're formulating and we're designing a systematic approach to how that happens in every building. So we first start with our definition of personalization.
Sure. So hi, everyone. Thanks so much for paying attention to this great progress and steps forward that you all are making on behalf of every child in Marysville. As we are here representing kind of Knowledge Works, and I've been partners with Diane and have worked with several of you in some design the last couple of years, what we're learning about education across the country is states are moving more towards this idea of personalized learning where the learner is in the driver's seat in terms of what they're learning, when they're learning, and how they're going to show us evidence of learning. And it really is kind of flipping the way that many of us went to school and understand education to be. And so it's a pretty exciting space to be in to see how that's going to play out for students in a K-12 system. And with all of the successes and programs that are currently in place here in Marysville, the next place to turn our attention to is exactly what Superintendent Mankin said, and that's a large part in that is really a window into the HOPE survey with this engagement and the sense of belonging that every student has. So we teach them all, but do we teach each? And so it's a subtle nuance. What we're looking at are lessons around the country at the national policy levels, state levels, and really having a chance here in Ohio to be one of the districts that is moving forward and really understanding what this means for our community, our kids, all the grown-ups involved in the system, from our teachers and our principals and our district folks and our board members to our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, and on down the road, what we really are talking about and what shifts we'll begin to see in the buildings. And so just like when you've been to our early college high school, and you begin to notice some things that may look a little different in terms of how space is being used, perhaps what kids are doing in the classroom. All you have to do is talk to a student, and when they tell you they can't wait, and we remember this so clearly, they can't wait to get to school. Okay, not every kid every day. I get that. But when you hear high school kids saying, I can't wait to get back tomorrow because I'm working on this, and I'm going to make my teacher at lunchtime, and I've got something that I've got to do, and when a snow day is a bad thing because they're missing school, I'm like, something right is going on there. Something right is going on. And so what does that look like when that's really playing out across the district and kids are highly engaged and not by accident? So we're starting the journey. We've kind of started the journey at the early college high school and also with Navin Elementary School. Miss Lewis over there and her team were like, yes, we're in, let's do it. And before we even got out of the starting gate, we have 9 buildings and we had 9 clamoring leaders. Mr. Cochran, Mrs. Luntz, other folks around the district are like, don't leave without me. What is happening? And we want to get in on this. So we are working systemically. And as Ashley said, from her position as kind of the CBE, she's leading the parade as the dedicated to this work, we are able to begin to have an alignment around all nine of our schools. And so you'll see it in different phases, and we'll begin to talk about it a little differently. Definition, and there's not going to be a quiz on it, so you don't have to take notes, but to try to get an idea, Ashley, just want to kind of read for folks and get a sense of.
Yeah, basically it's tailoring learning for each student's strengths, needs, and interests, including enabling student voice and choice in how, in what, how, when, and where they learn, and to provide flexibility and supports to ensure mastery of the highest standards possible. So again, it's shifting that locus of control from the teacher-centered room, like we're all kind of accustomed to, and somewhat afraid to let go of, and shifting that to the students. And we believe wholeheartedly that that's going to increase the engagement and therefore increase achievement, their sense of mastery, their sense of belonging, and their value of education.
Yeah, so we're really, really excited about it. And as we begin to kind of articulate to ourselves what it looks like, go to the next slide, Ash, and we'll kind of go to that one. Okay, so 4 kind of ideas in a nutshell around things that we're talking about. And you can see them from the PowerPoint slide, and we'll certainly have this information available to you as we continue to have these conversations. But there really are, in a personalized learning system, with the focus on this idea of competency-based ed, competencies and standards have been around a long time. That's not new. Kids learning, what should kids know and be able to do? And you've got the standards, and your kids are all tested. One could argue perhaps over-tested sometimes, but some of the requirements that we all adhere to as part of the state, but it really is about gauging students' progress along the way and helping them navigate through this whole bucket of stuff that they need to know and how best they learn. And so instead of Ms. Keenan saying, "With my 27 kids in my class, here's my lesson, and I'm teaching you all, and the test is on Friday," we're going to change it up to, here's the content. We're learning it in ways that make sense to you, which might be different than ways that make sense to you, Ms. Powers. And then, when are you ready to show you got it? Maybe it's on Friday, but maybe you can do it before school's out today. So maybe I need a week from tomorrow. And so it's really beginning to think about what that means without having the teachers and the principals in the building go, oh my gosh, that really sounds good and I love that for every child, but how do I manage that? How do I manage all of that? So we're trying to find a way forward that makes sense for our kids, our teachers, our community, so that every student, when they walk across the stage at graduation, hasn't gotten a diploma with an average of 60%. They got their diploma. They achieved their diploma because they hit all of the competencies along the way. And kids are part of that process in ways that they haven't been before. So we're going to focus on 4 areas. Learning is personalized. We know kids engage in different ways. And maybe I can learn it by watching a video on my one-to-one device at Creekview. And maybe I learn it because I have a lesson at the table with the teacher. And maybe I learn it because I work with two folks in a group. What does that all look like when we understand our learners and how they best can engage with content? Learning is competency-based. We are nowhere near defining what that system is going to look like. So everybody just kind of go, okay, good. Let's just relax for a moment. We're going to do a lot of heavy lifting and work and understanding places that have got it right so we don't have a hot mess. And then you go, those knowledge works people, I missed on you. What are you doing here? Screwing up. My kid was a valedictorian last year, and this year there are no grades. What does that mean? We will go forward thoughtfully and make it work for our community, but really focusing on kids meeting mastery of a certain body of standards that everybody knows about, Learning happens anytime, anywhere. You're going on a family trip on the weekend. Let's say that you stop at the orchard on the way out of town, and you decide you're going to pick the apples before you get to Aunt Betty's house. There's probably a living math lesson right there. What if your youngster, in that experience with you, that they're going to have anyway, can demonstrate that they get something that's part of their math curriculum? Learning anywhere, anytime. That slide that had all those partners up there, what if my kids, either at Marysville High School or at the early college, can engage with a lesson with our folks from Honda or Ohio Health or the library in some kind of an experience that goes beyond the brick and mortar of Raymond Elementary or Edward Elementary? And our partners help us with our kids engage. That's learning beyond the walls. And finally, the last one that we are having an absolute ball with, figuring out, what does it look like when our little ones, all the way up to not so little, own their learning? And we don't have to always say, do this and do this and do this, and give them the step-by-step approach, because kids are the thinkers. So a lot of stuff that's happening with your kids that are doing problem-based learning and kids that are solving those problems, and I see it at every elementary school at Northwood. I see when we're doing our Lego challenges, and they're doing their design challenges, and they're working on, we just had our early college girls come up with a whole plan to fund a well or a source of water in a developing country. What happens when kids' minds are on fire and they are taking ownership of the learning? The teachers, the principal, the district, we're not abdicating our role in this at all. This isn't anarchy. This isn't like a free-for-all and class is crazy and you won't recognize school. You'll recognize school. But our kids will have more of a voice in the learning. And when our kids have more of a voice, you do as well.
So some things we're focusing on this year are learner-centered classrooms and kind of creating that opportunity for kids to take a more active role in their education. And the components are on the left, sometimes we're referring to them as pillars, are some of the work that we're doing with teachers to create those intentional learner-centered classrooms. And that's comprised of growth mindset, which is more focused on effort, resilience, you know, taking a mistake and learning from it rather than just thinking, well, this is how smart I am, and it's forever that way, so that there's growth in that. There's some brain research in there that we're embedding. Creating a vision and identity for the school. Instituting some standard operating procedures, and not just the principal coming up with, well, this is how we're going to do business here at this school, but really engaging the teachers and then engaging the students as well along that journey. Personal learner profiles are a tool that we can tap into what students' strengths, interests are, so we can help them make informed decisions on their trajectory through the learning continuum. So that's a piece of information that not only informs the staff, but also informs students and gives them a framework to do that. And then, like Robin has mentioned before, just increasing opportunities for student voice and choice to really increase the engagement. And then CBE, we're starting a design team to get into that work. We haven't built out the learning continuum yet, but those are kind of the three components of the CBE work to come. Like I mentioned a minute ago, growth mindset is something that we believe is a foundational component of helping students become owners of their education and owners of their work. And the definition is just that our belief system that suggests one's intelligence can be grown or developed with persistence, effort, and focus on learning. So it's that never giving up. And knowing what to do, knowing what supports to seek, knowing how to advocate for yourself. So really teaching the kids that they can do it, and they will do it, and then we're here to help them achieve their goals. Versus the fixed mindset, which we all toggle between growth and fixed, but we're trying to teach kids how to, if they're in a fixed mindset, how to get that growth self-talk and those strategies that will lead them to more success. Here are some examples of the self-talk statements that kids can articulate, and we can articulate with kids that take them from the fixed mindset where maybe failure is the limit of my abilities to failure is an opportunity to grow. So it's looking at challenges as hurdles that can be overcome versus stopping for, well, I can't go any further than this. So it's a framework for which we're building the foundation, and that's a lot of the work that we're doing currently in our building.
So one of the tools that will help really guide the growth of and the learning of, and this is already happening at the early college and also at Navin, is really helping our learners understand who they are. And so we're using a tool called a personal learner profile, where from our kindergarten teachers up to our fourth grade at Navin and then over at early college, or of course our high school students over there, helping them to discover their learning, not just learning styles, but how they learn best. For instance, when they're in a math class, do I learn best when I'm working by myself and problem solving, when I'm working with a partner, when I'm working directly with the teacher? I know Mrs. Davis and other teachers joined us for 3 days this summer in some intensive focused professional development where we all kind of went back to school and are learning this. And so what does it look like when I'm struggling with math? What are the best ways that I learn? What are the best ways I learn? And then have kids set goals so that I understand school isn't being something that's done to me. I have a voice in what that looks like. And so as we go through this, it's really not our purview tonight to unpack every single tool, but to simply say there are instructional strategies and best practices out there that we have the kind of the opportunity and the privilege of seeing what's working in other places and saying, work smarter or harder. Let's take that and see what that looks like in Marysville. And one of the things that we've learned in the time that we've been here in your community is no matter what it is that we've seen in other places and had our own thinking informed, it just like goes through the roof in here with how folks have embraced it and made it beyond what we could even imagine. So we're really tickled. I don't think it's too much.
So this transformation that we're under is basically, like we said, it's putting the learner at the center of our decision making. So we are doing some studies with these two ladies who are kind of leading the work nationally, Barbara Ray and Kathleen McClaskey. They have a book out that we're studying, and our teachers are in that work. So that's just a kind of a quote that captures what our movement.
And it all connects back to Diane's picture of our kids. Thanks for the opportunity to be doing the good work. And your kids are all so much fun.
Do you have any questions for us?
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. For me, it's really exciting. I've told people that if they haven't been in the classroom, if they haven't seen a classroom in the last 2 or 3 years, their idea of what education is completely wrong. You know, the changes are remarkable, and I know that the kids, when you walk into the classrooms, the kids are so excited. I know I come to this building a little more often than some of the others, and the teachers are excited. The kids are enthusiastic. Lots and lots of good things happen.
I thought it was interesting. I was talking to them a little bit before the meeting, but last night I was flipping through the channels and happened to stop on at WOSU, and the NOVA program was about the classroom of the future.
I told them, as I sat there and listened to it, I'm like, this is Marysville. And it was amazing the terms that I continued to hear throughout the program as they visited different schools around the country, the growth mindset, resiliency or grit they use, personalized learning, STEM education. And, you know, so there was a lot of professionals, a lot of teachers who spoke on this program, but maybe the most exciting was when they interviewed the students. And again, I listened to them and I said, this reminds me of our students and the students that we've heard presenting to us. And when you go to visit the buildings and just their excitement at every level, elementary up to high school, you know, when you see them with the project-based learning and stuff. So I am so excited to know that. I mean, we're ahead of the game here, so I'm really proud of what's happening.
Thank you.
Next up, we are excited to have Raymond Elementary give us a presentation. And Mrs. Lentz, I have to apologize for not thanking you at the beginning of the meeting for hosting us tonight. We always enjoy coming out here to Raymond. You have a wonderful school out here.
Thanks. So we love having you. So yeah. Welcome. I do have some friends presenting with me tonight. So our instructional coaches are here with me. Beth Ann Morey is our literacy coach. Mary Davis is the math coach. Mm-hmm. And I also have our second grade teachers, Stephanie DeArmond and Jen Spring. And then I do have some special guests who are going to do a very quick number talk for you.
Excellent.
So they are so excited. So if you guys want to come up and sit up here, it's okay. They've been sitting in the back, very patient. They've been doing a good job. Very quickly, I just wanted to kind of recap a little bit where we were last year at this time. We talked a lot about engagement. So I just wanted to show you a few pictures. We really thought about student engagement, community engagement, and staff engagement. So those were kind of those three main areas. And I was just going to highlight a few things that we did in each of those areas. So student engagement, we really continued the work that we had started with EdWorks, Knowledge Works now, so sorry. So with the design challenges, we continued our Pride meetings, which are actually our cross-grade level groups that meet together. They work on sometimes design challenges. Sometimes it's just having lunch with your Pride group. So you'll see kindergartners in with first graders and with fourth graders, and they stay together for their entire career at Raymond. So they might have lunch together, or they might go outside, and the fourth graders may lead them in an activity. So it's really a way to make our small school even smaller. But the kids love it. They've already asked me, you know, when's our first Pride meeting? I promise, guys, we'll get it on the calendar. And then we also were able to engage in field trips last year for the first time with the support of Superintendent Atkins and also our PTO. They helped fund transportation costs for us. So kids went, there's some first graders at the zoo. Every grade level, they were able to attend a field trip outside of school, and they absolutely loved it. Everything was tied into content standards, though, so it was it definitely had that academic focus. In addition, we really looked at community engagement, continuing our service projects, our food pantry. We had a Destination Imagination team that worked on gathering almost like little care packages for the residents at the Gables, which is the nursing care facility in town. We also, we had always had a math family night, which Mary Davis leads for us, which is awesome. And last year, for the first time, we also incorporated a literacy night for families that Beth Ann helped put together. And then our war rallies were just kind of celebrations of learning, where we had one grade level a month or every so often present, and we invited families in to just come and see, you know, what are the kids doing. We also talked a lot about staff engagement. So PD opportunities, committee opportunities, leadership opportunities, And also PTO events. You can see some pictures there of our literacy night. We also have that job-embedded coaching, that professional development. So we really want to make sure that our staff feels like they're part of the community and they have voice in our building. Thank you. So one of the things we wanted to kind of just highlight again tonight was our professional development that we did last year. I'm going to let Bethany kind of take over, but see, I just get on a roll. I'm supposed to be sharing the leadership, right? So I'll let Bethany kind of share a little bit about what our focus was this past year.
We talked a lot about that change in the classroom from the teacher being the deliverer of knowledge to engaging students, and so the math coach and I worked a lot on challenging teachers last school year to look at the questioning they were using in their room and how are they approaching things, because in the past it's easy to say, okay, this is my math block time or this is my language arts time and I'm just going to go through the schedule like I normally do. But again, is that your thinking being delivered to students, or are you thinking about each child and what they need? And so we talked a lot about opening our questions up. We looked at what research said and how a lot of questions are just surface-level questions. They're not getting to the depth or engaging students and challenging them in their thinking. We also spent a lot of time with accepting wrong answers. And how can you leave that dissonance in your room and not feel like I want these kids to know what they need to know, rather allowing them to discover that and kind of grapple with it in a sense and be challenged by that to work on and having that endurance.
And they will remember the correct answer if they have productive struggle and they arrive at it rather than me telling it. That means I know the right answer for you.
We hope you do, right?
Yeah, I know there are times I have to because I have to work on it, and that's okay.
That's right.
That's all learning forever.
And we as coaches tried to model that and also challenge teachers to try that because we're all still learning how to make that change from deliverer to inquirer and facilitator rather than. And that really, I think, got kids more engaged in the classroom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Dierman. I am new to second grade this year. I taught first grade for quite a while. And I really feel that our questioning professional development has really impacted us. Just when we pose those complex or open-ended questions to our students, they really have to think, and these guys would tell you that. They have to stop and think and work at it a little bit. As a teacher, there's not always going to be that predetermined path that they're going to take to find that answer. Everybody's going to have their own path and their own way, and we discuss, we debate. I can pose a question, 7 + 3, to find the answer, or I can pose it maybe in a better scenario and say, student A solved this equation. They thought that the answer was 12. Student B thought the answer was 10. Student C thought the answer was 9. Which student do you agree with and tell us why? And that's the kind of thinking that we really want our students to be doing. You know, it's more than just finding that answer. It's they have to kind of muddle through it. And I'll tell you, my students get pretty passionate when they think they know the answer. We have very great conversations in class. You know, I've got 2 kiddos. I mean, these guys are a little bit older now, but I have them in first grade, and they're sitting here, and they used to say, I respectfully disagree. Like, you will hear those kinds of phrases in our classrooms. I respectfully disagree. I agree with this person, and this is why. And there's so much power in that. And I feel that those kinds of muddles that we have to go through, debates that we have to go through, are so powerful. All my students feel like they can answer a question. It's a respectful environment. As a teacher, I'm neutral. I let them, you know, I accept all answers that come. and that we work together and debate and finally come together with a collective agreement as a class. And I think that's just very powerful. And we want to give you a little glimpse of that now. So we have Ms. Spring's going to be wonderful and lead us in our number talks. And we have some wonderful third grade guests. We have Alex. We have Emma, Randall, Paul, Jackson, and Ashton. All right, and they are going to open their minds.
Okay, very good. So maybe if I do it again here, Ashton, I can do my underlining. So you're pulling the 2 from the hundreds place 200 plus another 200. Okay.
And I got 400.
Great.
So then I
got 50.
And I got
100. Yes. Okay. Two strategies. I want one more strategy. Who can be very, very efficient and quick strategy that we haven't discussed yet? Jackson, share.
Okay, 250 plus 250 plus 5.
500. Okay, and how did you know that right away?
Because they're doubles.
Very good. How do you know we have doubles here?
They're both on the same.
Okay, and what number are you working with?
150.
You got it, yes. All right. Now, before I erase, we are going to read it together. I'm going to record it top left, and then I will give you a new fact. Ready?
250 plus 250 equals 500.
Okay, so 250 to 249 is what?
Minus 1.
Okay, so we're going to subtract 1. All right.
And then you do that for the other ones.
One less. 249 is one less than 250. Okay.
So you know it would just be 2 less than 500.
Very good. And what is 2 less than 500?
498.
All right, read it with me, please. 249 plus 249 equals 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 1 active form?
On Wednesday. From the
8th. Okay, so you want to subtract one here, so you get what?
So I get 7.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I add all the...
Are you going to tap on that one anywhere else, or what were you thinking? Do you want me to come back to you? Maybe some more think time? Okay, you're ready. Okay, let's hear it.
Yes. And then 9 plus
Yes, and where are you getting that 10 from? Very good. Okay, so you did your 80 here plus your 10, 90. Okay.
And 497.
Good. Can you read through this whole equation for me?
100 plus 47 plus 7 equals 297.
Wonderful. So, Ms. Spring, when you would kind of close this up, you would then go back and discuss. Have the kids look at all the facts, kind of discuss how they link together. Guys, we're not going to have you do that just because it's probably getting close to your bedtime. The lens has kept you that long enough. So, but you guys were amazing. I love and Randall broke you back.
Thank you so much for coming tonight, you guys. We really appreciated hearing you. You did a great job.
So real quick, we just wanted to share with you, and Ms. Davis is going to talk about this a little bit, Ms. Spring's second grade data. So what's the result of all this great talk, great interaction? And we have some proof to kind of show that this is pretty powerful.
Along with number talks, we had a co-taught together last year, and we looked at number talks, and we also looked at math back there. And rather than just worrying about time tests, we look at it by strategies, because in the new Ohio standards, you have to teach kids plus one, plus two, double, and near doubles combinations of 10. Well, we created an assessment where they do 30 seconds, and then you can target their instruction on the strategy that they need. And the other thing we work on is there is a relationship between addition and subtraction. So we worked really hard, like if they were, so we gave a fact test, and some kids, when they whole proof, they learn all the strategies. But when they're doing their targeted practice, that individualized, personalized learning, they are working at the strategies that they need some support on. And they do it, play the games, they talk about it, then they take another time test and we move them on. At the beginning of the year, the district average in addition was, in first grade, there are no time tests because they're only developing fluency. Fluency and automaticity comes in second grade. The district average was 22.4. Jen's class average was a little bit lower. It was 21.0. End of the year addition, the district average, they all grew grade, was 40, but Jen's class was 42.7. They made no growth. Beginning of the year subtraction, the district average was 13.2, and subtraction is always a little lower, and we're trying to change that. And one thing I'll say is when you play with little, your toddlers, don't just do addition with them, do subtraction. Like, what if we eat three apples, how many are left? Not just I got more apples at the apple. But anyway, the district average was 13.2. Jen's average was 11.5. At the end of the year, the district average was 32.1. Jen's average was 38. So we saw by the targeted practice and never talks. And the other thing, I don't know, and I apologize because I am this cheerleader. Like, I knew, as they share, you know your kids, and you know where, when they're working, doing that productive struggle, you can see where that struggle is, so you can target just for that kid. How you pose questions, and you do it. I save them, I did a whole year of PDM questioning, and I still try to save people. And I'm not saving them by doing it, by spending it. And you did, she did, I learned so much from her last year. She did a fabulous example of just asking the right questions to nudge so they figure it out on their own, and then they own it. And this is, and not one of them did this down your algorithm. They don't need to, and they have a conceptual understanding, so when they do the standard algorithm and they're off by 1,000, they'll know they're off by 1,000 because they'll have never relationship understanding. And I'm done with it.
So, actually, Diane and Ashley and our KnowledgeWorks friends kind of talked about what our next steps are. So, we're excited. We feel like, you know, we've really laid that groundwork with the work that we did last year, and we're excited to move forward
and do more work with growth mindset and more personalized learning. So thank you very much for being patient with us and letting us share. We just wanted the kids to come and share a little bit of what they do on a daily basis. We're really proud of them. So, and our teachers, thank you as well for being here and helping. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
One of the things that I'd like to say is, as I was sitting here, I got to thinking, this process has embedded in it the soft skills of respect for others, teamwork, personal responsibility, but also group responsibility. They're trying to get the right answer, but they're also trying to make sure that the other kids in the group come to the right answer also.
Excellent point. I love that. Okay, thank you again. Next up, we have public participation. We have one person on the list. Was there anybody else who was interested? Just want to check. Yeah. Okay, then we'll pass this over to you. Well, so while you're signing this, just wanted to give a little explanation here for those of you who may never have attended a school board meeting before. The main purpose of our monthly meetings is to deal with the official business of the district. And we're not required to have public participation, but we do feel like it's really important to provide a forum for the public to address the board. We allot a total of 30 minutes for public participation, with each person having up to 3 minutes to address the board. The public participation is not meant to be a forum for discussion. It's really, our focus is to listen and, when necessary, to ensure that the follow-up happens with the appropriate person or people in our district. We ask that you please state your name and address for the record. Our treasurer is going to be keeping track of the time, and he'll let you know when your time is up, and we do ask that you are mindful of this time restriction. So with that, I think Mr. Williams, you're the first up. So whatever you feel comfortable with, and our treasurer is going to be, he'll be keeping track of the time, so when your 3 minutes is up, if you would.
Name Bob Williams, yep. Address is 10880 State Route 38. Hopefully my voice carries. I had a little trouble 2 years ago next week. I can't project as much as I used to. I'm just here to, if I'm not too late, to just bring up the issue of non-renewal contract for Coach Kevin Barron's assistant varsity wrestling coach. Being a coach and a former teacher in this district for 31 years, I fully understand the difference between a non-renewal and a fire. So that's not an issue. I understand non-renewal. I understand Coach Barron's is being non-renewed, but this is after almost 20 years of being an assistant wrestling coach. And as far as I know, I don't have knowledge to everything. As far as I know, he's had no real problems with being assistant wrestling coach. That's his contract. I am concerned because, first of all, I had Kevin in class in seventh grade. I've known him since he was in seventh grade. I coached him in high school for 4 years. I watched him go to Miami University and, as an average wrestler, become a starter at the end of his senior year. He became a student wrestler. I brought him in as my assistant, one of my assistants, when I was head wrestling coach. And I relied on him immensely. I will tell you, when I had a tough match, the only coach I wanted next to me was Kevin Barron. Because he saw things before they even happened. He knows wrestling. And I've had some good coaches come in, like Jason, and Leonard Anders, Sean Andrews. So that, I think that says a lot about Kevin. I'm also concerned because I was head wrestling coach for 17 years. Started in 81, the program was kind of down. We had 14 kids in the high school program. We had about 10 kids in the middle school program. It was Leonard Anders and myself. We had no middle school coach that time. And when I left, we had over 50 kids in the high school program. I resigned. We had 10 district qualifiers returning, 2 state qualifiers. And we had 50 to 60 kids in the middle school program. So the program grew, and Leonard continued that, and now Sean and Kevin have pushed it even farther. The Marys Wrestling Program is one of the best in the state. I understand that there was an incident back in May involving Coach Barron's. with some athletes coming into the high school where he was at. They were non-wrestlers, and there was an altercation. Nothing visible, just heated argument. And if that's the reason for his non-renewal, I find it difficult to understand, because after 20 years, a heated discussion with students, athletes, whatever, should not take away 20 years of hard work. Kevin has admitted he made a mistake in judgment. Kevin's admitted he made a mistake in judgment. I just want the board to understand that. Hopefully, you take that in consideration, that he's been doing this for 20 years.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
He's been dedicated, he's raised a lot of money, and everything else.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
But he's
major. Okay. We appreciate that. Next up, we have Mr. Chris DeWitt.
Yeah, I'm going to.
But sir, can wait a second before you start. We do hold it to 3 minutes. So at the end of 3 minutes, you'll need to sit down, or else we'll need to recess the meeting. So I'll just let you know that up front, because this is a public meeting for our business.
Okay.
Do you understand? Do you understand our requirements?
Yeah, I get it, but...
Will you comply?
The school board works for us. We don't work for you. Okay.
Excuse me, this is our business meeting, sir. If you're not going to be able to comply with our requirements, then, you know, then, like you said, we're not required to have public participation. Then we have our guidelines. Yep, we have community coffees. We're actually going to have a community coffee this Saturday.
Okay. Saturday where, when?
At Fifth Street Cafe. On, Fifth Street in Marysville at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And I would also encourage, if it's a personnel issue, you can talk to the high school principal for longer than 3 minutes as well.
Right, because it's ultimately the building level decision.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to read a letter that Kevin wrote. He couldn't be here today. He's coaching his son's fall baseball team. But here's the letter. I am sorry about the events of May 7th, and I take responsibility for my actions. Nobody has a time machine, but if there was one available, I would like to go back and change the events that transpired that day. I would go back and de-escalate the event that day and report it directly to administration. I would allocate time in gym to take the classes the athletic director suggested, rather than waiting until August that the classes were taken. I would not have made the suggestion to the principal on August 5th that my son had the time, so he would take the classes. This was a joke, and it was a bad one. I understand why the principal was not happy with this statement, but it was not intended to undermine him. It was simply a poor choice of words. I would also cancel or leave early from the Children's Hospital golf outing so I could go to Memorial and take the random drug test. Again, I'm sorry the above events took place. I take responsibility for my actions. I understand hiring for the wrestling position is the principal's decision, but his decision not to recommend me was intended to make me suffer the consequences for the above-mentioned actions. What the Monarch wrestlers told me is that they feel like the penalties levied against me are causing them to suffer the consequences. Is there common ground that can be found for the kids and the betterment of the program? And he also indicated to me that he would be willing to be a volunteer coach and also restrict his access to the high school for only wrestling activities. Because the event that took place in May, he wasn't even there for a wrestling activity. There was some other actions here that happened with the principal and the AD meeting with some of these wrestlers. I heard of a lot of stuff earlier about education outside the classroom and the students' voices being heard. Well, in this meeting, I don't know what the meeting was intended for. I do know what the results were. The results were that these kids were basically told that you're annoying the school board. What you say is not going to matter. And that's the end of it. And I wonder if, as educators, if that's the kind of message that you need to be sending to these kids about this event. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeWitt. I guess after those comments, I just wanted not a conversation or anything, but just kind of a reminder to people what the major functions are of the Board of Education. You know, we're responsible for hiring and evaluating our superintendent and treasurer and overseeing district policies. We're not involved in the daily operations of the district or in other employment decisions. And while we certainly understand and appreciate the relationships that have been built, this is an employment decision that was and should be made at the building level. So like you said, if there are concerns, if you would like to continue that conversation, Mr. Cochran.
What time is it, the Fifth Street
Cafe? That's 9 o'clock this Saturday. Again, but, you know, understanding what the role of the board is, you know, we really don't get involved in staffing decisions. We're apprised of situations, but we don't get involved in them. So,
okay.
And sir, this is not a conversation, so, okay. I mean, that's,
I
said.
We've
had your 3 minutes, so we're ready to move on with the meeting, unless I need to recess for a while. But we're ready to move on with our meeting now.
Well,
okay.
Like to understand why those kids are pounded on the floor to start with.
Then that's a good question, and that's what I'm sure you can ask somebody outside of our meeting. So, okay, you ready to move on? Next up is our superintendent's report.
Really, the past two items since we touched personalized learning in depth tonight. First of all, a report card was released today. We are compiling a comparison chart that you'll get tomorrow, comparing the past 2 years to this year. Some highlights from that, I was actually caught a snippet of the news talking about the change and the complexity. I also sent a communication to parents this week talking about the change in the report card. Understand it's a new assessment set again. So last year we were hoping that would be a baseline for this year. We're hoping that this year is a baseline for next year. So I would say that we're under construction, and then understand also with the changes or possible changes in ESSA that could look different yet again. So this report card is much more complex. More pieces to it, a little more difficult to talk about as opposed to excellent, excellent with distinction, etc. I will hit a couple highlights. Overall indicators, there's significantly more this year. Our grade for that was a D this year. Our performance index was a C. Our four-year graduation rate was an A. And our five-year graduation rate was an A. Our value-added score, which is that one that we really like to focus on, which talks about how you're moving kids. Remember, one-year movement is a C, which is expected growth. We received an A in every category of value-added. So we received an A in gifted, which has been a struggle for us the past few years, an A with students with disability as a district, which has been a struggle, and an A in our lowest 20%. So there are some highlights in there. We will have that comparison sheet prepared for you in the morning as a part of my update to show over time. So there is a spreadsheet on ODE's website, too, of every district in the state where you can compare. And there's a lot of controversy right now. The bottom line is we know we didn't perform well, especially on the achievement side, and that's definitely a focus moving forward. The test was different, more rigorous, and they upped the scale of passage, so there's several factors in that as well. So it's a lot of noise right now if you read the newspaper tomorrow or listen to the news as well. But we are definitely very proud to continue on that A on the value-added side. That's the most consistent indicator we've had over time.
Okay.
Parking lot progress, I wanted to give you a brief update. I don't know if you've driven by in the past couple weeks, but they had the first underground structure in, which took longer than expected. They are a little bit behind. We're still hopeful for the end of October. Those structures did not go in as easily. They're about going into about a 6-foot deep hole and put together. So then covered up after that. So they are moving on. Additionally, our spoils area, which is setting
behind the baseball field, roughly the JV field, is also just about full. So we're working with the city to find another area for that. So we don't expect a delay as a result of that, mm-hmm. but that hole is filling pretty quickly as well. So.
Okay. That's it. Okay.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. That is. I'll be excited to see all the other grade card information. And I think there must have been an article in the Dispatch this morning about that as well, because I talked about a little bit at the chamber meeting, and people were aware of some of those changes. So.
Sure.
Yeah. And I went online today, the website, and looked at the report card. And, I know I looked at some of the others. And, surrounding districts, and the letter grades were all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what we've heard most is people being disappointed in value added,
mm-hmm.
and that's certainly something that we performed well in. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, Treasurer's Report.
Okay, so today I'm presenting the first reading of the October 2006 five-year financial forecast. On the first slide, slide I always show and always really gets a broad highlight of the forecast, showing revenues versus expenditures. And the first line I want to draw your attention to is the ending balance line, the green line towards the bottom. The first thing to note there is our ending balance, or our beginning balance, where we're starting fiscal year 17, is approximately $1.3 million higher than where we anticipated we would be starting this year. So that was a very big boost to that ending balance line. Multiple factors towards the end of the year culminated into that number. We had a large increase in our catastrophic aid revenue of $230,000. That was in June of 2016. Dollars that we get for special ed students as a reimbursement for those large costs. So that's a number that was much higher than anticipated, and also a number that we anticipate will maybe not stay quite at that level, but it definitely will increase. So we're kind of projecting that throughout the forecast. So that was an increase throughout the entire 5 years of the projections. Also in June, we received $150,000 Medicaid reimbursement. That, again, was totally unanticipated. We typically receive one Medicaid reimbursement per year. That was a second reimbursement in the same fiscal year. The federal government is usually 2 to 3 years behind in sending those out, so that was somewhat of a catch-up payment. So that was more of a one-time payment. I don't anticipate we'll be getting two in the same fiscal year anytime soon. On the expenditure side, in fiscal year 16 was the first year based on the state biennial budget of the College Credit Plus tuition costs that were going to be hitting the district. So we had budgeted for that, budgeted $270,000, kind of kept waiting for that expense to hit, kept pushing that budget number over another month, and it never did hit in fiscal year 16. So that was a savings, somewhat of a timing thing, though, because that expense will be hitting in fiscal 17. Still kind of a little uncertain of what that exact level of expenditure is going to be going forward, so a little uncertainty there. And then on the another $265,000 in savings based on utilities, supplies, just building budgets and department budgets where there was some savings. So like I said, ended in an additional $1.3 million on the beginning balance for this year. We're anticipating fiscal year 17 of having an ending balance of $16.9 million. And then looking further out on that line, right there around fiscal year 19 is where we would project the peak of our ending balance. That number would be about $18.9 million. What's really driving the ending balance is when you look at what our revenue versus expenditures are. So those lines above, the blue line represents revenue and the red line is expenditures, and obviously fiscal year 16 revenues were well above expenditures. There's a gap there. That gap is the largest gap on the forecast. So as you see at the bottom, our ending balance is going to continue to grow for several years. Starting this year and beyond, the gap between revenue and expenditures is starting to get smaller. So until then, we get in fiscal year 19, we'll see revenues it's really close, just slightly exceeding expenditures, but it's still to the point where it doesn't exceed by the 1% that our cash balance policy says that it should. So getting there about fiscal year 19, expenditures are going to start to exceed revenues, and it's going to start eating into our ending cash balance. Also pointing out there on fiscal year 19 is that our 6.56 mil levy will expire in December of 2019. With this graph, I showed it as though that levy expires and that money is not replaced. Mm-hmm. The main purpose of showing that is to show how steep that decline would be in ending balance if did we not have that continued levy revenue. Even if that levy revenue were in there, that blue line for revenue would really relatively just flatten out, but we would still have expenditures exceeding revenue even with that levy renewal. Next slide looks at our ending cash balance policy. Throughout the forecast, and this one actually includes the levy renewal, so that this slide assumes that the levy would be renewed. You can see that ending balance is a much slower decline, and we have an ending balance that meets our cash balance policy throughout the forecast. And as I mentioned before, starting in fiscal year 19, we do have expenditures exceeding revenue, so there we would not meet the cash balance policy. On the slide that Diane showed earlier, I think it kind of pointed to the fact that we're not really accustomed to having a large ending balance in Marysville, and historically there's not been a whole lot of wiggle room, so I think these numbers probably look a little out of the ordinary, but I think this slide shows that having that large ending balance really isn't an extraordinary ending balance, isn't really an ending balance that's out of line. Our cash balance policy says we should have at least 1 month of expenditures as an ending balance. Some accounting standards would say 2 months as a minimum. And again, that is a minimum. So at our highest point, we're showing 134 days based on projections. 134 days equals about 4.5 months. So again, just comparing it to previous years, it looks really high, but really not, I wouldn't say it's anything out of line. Looking at general fund revenues, total revenue is going to be up about $1.6 million compared to last year. Looking at total revenues of over $53 million for fiscal year 17. even though the dollars changed significantly, it's interesting that the percentage of state versus local stayed exactly the same. The reason being, the two main drivers for the state sources are TPP, Tangible Personal Property Reimbursement, and our state foundation funding. The TPP reimbursement is going down $700,000 in fiscal year 17, while the foundation funding is going up $1.8 million. Then on the local side, our PUP, or Public Utility Personal Property Tax, is going up $900,000. So those two pieces are what's really driving the real solid ending balance that we're having. The increase in state foundation funding based on the current state budget. Last year and this year, we received a 7.5% increase. So that's been a major driver to our stability. Now, even with that increase, last year and this year, we're still not receiving the full amount of state foundation revenue that the formula calculates we should receive. We're a cap district, which means basically the state didn't have enough money to fund us to what the formula says we should be funded. So for fiscal year 17, we're going to receive about $2.2 million less than what the foundation funding formula says we should receive. So as long as that state funding formula, as long as the state keeps increasing the cap, we'll continue to grow our revenue. And also, just on a less significant note, but as Diane mentioned, we did change the policy for pay to participate. So there on that other local revenue equates to about 2% of our total revenue. I've anticipated about a $35,000 loss in revenue there, and we'll see how that turns out. As I mentioned, the main driver for our state sources is the state foundation funding and the tangible personal property reimbursement. One's going down, one's going up. So our state aid, as you see, we've had real significant growth the last 2 years. Really what's an unknown is fiscal year 18 and beyond, because there'll be, in this forecast, there'll be two new state biennial budgets. You know, based on the economy, we would anticipate that revenue would still grow, and that we're assuming some growth in the projections. But politically, things could change. You know, there's even talk of a whole new formula and those kinds of things. So depending on what happens there, that could, you know, totally change. The tangible personal property decrease, that's currently set in law. The state budget that we're currently in instituted for us, it was a $700,000 per year decrease. Enough districts like ours lobbied and they passed a new law to slow that decrease down. So that decrease starting next year goes from $700,000 down to about $400,000. So we got a little bit of a reprieve. So that red line is currently set in law, but if we've learned anything from history, the state has no qualms with changing it. I don't anticipate there's any risk of it going up in terms of revenue going up, but the risk would be increasing the phase out or, you know, wiping it out and totally all at once. So we'll keep an eye on that. Overall property values increased by 5.6% in 2015. You can look across the board in all classes, there was an increase, but the real driver to that increase was the public utility personal property taxes. There's an increase of $35 million there. You look back to 2012, our valuation there was about $39 million. We're up to $102 million this year, so that's been a big driver, again, to our strong ending cash balance. And again, the public utility personal property, those are things like power lines, natural gas lines, electricity generation plants, those kinds of things.
So it's kind of interesting to look back at 2005. I mean, I think that was the highest in there. It's $815 million, and now in 2015 it's $740. I mean, it's a pretty significant drop.
Right. Yeah, it's been a long road catching back up. So the next update in values will be actually taking place right now, and that will impact our collections in 2017. And we're anticipating a 1.8% increase there. Looking at expenditures, we're projecting just over $49 million in expenditures for this year. We've added several new staff positions. You've already gotten to meet our competency-based education coordinator, Ashley. She's not new to the district, but in a new role this year. We've added a half-time FTE for our PACE program, the PACE program at the high school for students at risk of not graduating. We added one special ed driver, special ed bus driver, as well as one special ed bus aide based on student enrollment of special ed students. And we also added an assistant athletic director / middle school athletic director this year as well. Also wanted to note that, again, I guess as an opportunity based on our strong financial position right now, I'll be proposing, and it's currently in the forecast, just this year we went to self-insured for our medical insurance. The original plan was to build a reserve using our premiums. You know, claims really drive what happens there, and the claims have been a little higher than we'd anticipated this year, so the reserve's not quite where we want it to be yet. So I'm proposing to transfer $400,000 into that self-insurance reserve fund. That transfer would basically put the reserve where our insurance consultant says the reserve should be. It really gives us the opportunity to protect our employees from potential, you know, major increases in the future, as well as protecting the district from those increases as well. Doesn't mean that it wouldn't happen, because what really drives it is claims. If you have bad claims several years in a row, those increases are inevitable, but it does give a little cushion and hopefully protect us in that event. Always like to talk about the levy history. Since 1998, there's been one new money levy that's been passed, and that was in 2008. So there was a decade between new money issues at that point. So since the last new money issue was in 2008, we would have to get to 2018 to hit a decade again. And based on the current forecast, it would be, you know, at least a decade before we would be looking for a new money issue again. And, you know, it looks like it would be several years beyond that as well. I do want to point out, as I mentioned, our renewal levy is going to expire in December of 2019. So November of 2018 would be our first opportunity to go on the ballot for that, and November of 2019 would be the last opportunity to address that levy. So, you know, definitely will be a discussion coming up. Items to consider, you know, risks to the forecast assumptions. We discussed the TPP, tangible personal property reimbursements. As I said, right now, those are set in law, so, you know, pretty confident in those numbers, but there could always be changes in the law. Again, as I mentioned, our state foundation funding has been increasing significantly the last year as well as this year. We really don't know what to anticipate going forward, so that's obviously a risk to the assumptions. College Credit Plus, you know, that is a significant expense, but there's still some uncertainty of what level that expense is going to be. I think we've budgeted appropriately, but I think we should have more information throughout this year and as that program hasn't been in place for some time. And we still need to continue to monitor revenues versus expenditures. You know, as I noted, our ending balance is still growing. But you can start to see, you know, within a couple years, you know, we're going to be on the other side where that ending balance is going to start to decrease. So we're going to continue to keep an eye on that. That's all. If there's any questions.
Any questions, anyone?
No, I know you put a lot of work into this, and it's nice to know that we have the financial resources to move forward, mm-hmm. making sure that we're secure in the benefits of salaries and operations of the district, at least for the next few years. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
Yep. I just had one question. You mentioned that according to some accounting standards, a 2-month mm-hmm. cash balance. What do you think about for us? Is that something we need to consider, or do you think our policy is?
I think our policy is fine, because really what that it really is a discussion driver, and it mm-hmm. says when do we need to have this discussion about, you know, whether it be cuts, whether it be levies, you know, whatever that would be. Most districts don't even have a cash balance policy, so I think we're already ahead of the game somewhat. But districts that do, it's usually either that 1 or 2 month range. So I think we're fine with it, and just, you know, knowing that that's always something we're going to look at and always going to be, you know, informing the board of to drive that discussion.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to mention the fact that you did have a finance committee meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And had, I think that was, I think it's good to point out that.
Yep. So we had our finance committee meeting, I believe that was not Wednesday of this week, but Wednesday in the
right.
prior week. So we presented the forecast there. There we kind of dig into the details a little more. And basically we're, you know, just giving it to a different set of eyes, you know, some with strong financial backgrounds, some that are just there because they want to support the schools and the community. You know, they kind of, you know, hammer you with a bunch of different questions, and, you know, which is good to ensure the assumptions are strong. And I think that all parties there felt the assumptions were reasonable.
I would agree.
And you said we could go on and we can start in 18. And when's the last?
That would be November of 2019 would be the right. final opportunity.
Right. For the renewal. Yeah. And that's something I know. I mean, we know that how important it is to make sure that we're sharing the information about our finances and all the work that's done throughout the districts. I know mm-hmm. your department really does a great job working with all the buildings to help them better understand their budgets and help them kind of take ownership of what they're spending money on and how it's impacting students.
Yeah.
So.
And one thing I did want to mention, since we brought up the renewal, is that, you know, a renewal does not increase revenue. The renewal, when we would renew that levy, mm-hmm. it would be the same amount of revenue that we collected the year prior. It really just would be maintaining that revenue and helping to maintain those services.
One thing, I know you spent a lot of time also on the treasurer's website, and all this information, our budget, all of those kinds of things are available, and if anybody wants to delve in.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I've got just a couple things here. First off, we held a work session just this past Monday, and we discussed our board protocol, our goals and work plan, and got about halfway through our goals and work plan, so we've scheduled another session for September 26th. But I think it's kind of a good thing for the board to kind of review that protocol. We've had some change in membership, and it's always nice to kind of take another look at it and see as things change, how do we need to make some adjustments for that. Brian, I'm sure the Central Region Fall Conference is Wednesday, September 28th. I didn't know if you were planning to attend that, but that's OSBA holds regional conferences. I've got something going on that night, but
I'm actually traveling that day, but anybody, okay. certainly from the board, is welcome to,
right.
And other administrators are sometimes find that interesting as well.
Right. So just kind of a heads up for that Wednesday, September 28th at Villa Milano. It's kind of nice to get together since it's a regional one. Boards in our region, so good place to network. I think a little bit later, Nan's going to, on the closing comments, she's going to give us a few comments about attending an ESSA seminar, that's Every Student Succeeds Act. And then I know a couple times people have asked about different seminars, webinars, and so I just recommend that you do check out the OSBA briefcase emails, because they always list all the different upcoming webinars and seminars. And then, let's see, I always like to highlight the building notes, kind of like what I said earlier when I was watching NOVA last night, hearing all these great things that are going on in our district, and you read the building notes and you see in every single building they were commenting about personalized learning, about project-based learning, about STEM, about resiliency, you know, digital education, one-to-one, all that kind of stuff. So it's just really nice to hear that, especially right now at the beginning of the school year. I mean, everybody's starting out ready to go. So let's see. And then the last thing is just that we're starting up our community coffees again. So there's going to be one this Saturday. We generally hold them the Saturday before the board meeting, but because last Saturday was Festifair, we thought that probably wasn't a very good idea to hold it on the day of Festifair. So Saturday morning at from 9 to 10 at 5th Street Cafe. And that's all I've got. So next up, we have the High Point Report, Mr. Chivington.
All right. On behalf of High Point meeting, and we have a light report to this evening. But we did get off on a good foot with school this year. And Dr. Smith, the superintendent, did travel to all the satellite areas and meet the students and faculty members. So that was a very positive thing for him. Another note, we did receive $174,000 from the Sloan Foundation, and we were able to apply that to some upgrades to equipment that we needed on the main campus. Unfortunately, we did have a resignation in the nursing program at Marysville due to a health concern. Mm-hmm. And so, however, in 2 weeks, we were able to find a replacement.
Great.
Her name is Stephanie Brown. So she was employed as of August 29th. So we were only short a couple weeks there after school started. The new director on the main campus, Tanya Ramsey, has got off on a good foot as well, and she actually has been networking with the students and the instructors and the student and the faculty members. And we had orientation on August 9th and had almost 900 students and family members there. So very, very positive orientation for us a few weeks ago. And looking at enrollment for this calendar year, we'll be pushing 4,000 students across High Point and all the satellites. So a nice bump in enrollment. Looking at Marysville, when we touch the middle school, the high school, and the STEM school, we're looking at almost 1,100 students in the Marysville district. So we're awful proud of that. And our next board meeting is on the 28th, so a couple weeks from now. So that's really it. We got off to a good start.
Great. Thank you for that update.
Thank you very much. For me, and looking at this, one of the most exciting things was that 1,100 students from our community are really having their educational needs met through the collaboration and work between High Point High School, STEM school. So.
Yeah, we need to be very proud of the Marysville students. They've been recognized nationally and in the state, and always like to do a thumbs up in our board meetings. More Marysville kids.
Well, it's nice. You provide a lot of nice programs for them, you know. It's a nice supplement, so we appreciate it. Next up, our legislative report, Mr. Smith.
And it's very brief. State legislature will begin meeting in about 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Is that the whole report?
That's the whole report.
That's it. Okay.
Oh, I think it's an A-plus tonight.
Yeah. You're still on summer.
Okay. Safety and Drug Committee report, Ms. Power.
Okay, we won't have another drug coalition situation until next month when we start looking at our plans for next year. Mm-hmm. But Impact 60 is bringing in Sam Kionis on October 12th to the high school. This is called Protecting Dreamland. It's going to have a resource fair, and this is going to be for parents, high school parents, to come in. They're going to have a resource fair start at 5:30. The presentation is going to start at 7, and it's going to be presented by Sam and the families of kids that are addicted to heroin. So, in some of the losses, there will also be a mom there that locally lost her son to heroin. And then also, so we really need to get that word out to these parents.
What date did you say? Yeah.
October 12th.
October 12th.
And our student leadership group has Sam's book
Great. And Sean and Sean are working with them to do all the promotion and competitions to get attendance in.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I heard they were going to do a competition, which I think is awesome, yeah. You know, to get their parents there and stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, so Impact 60, what they're going to do, and they're working on a plan for this promotion, is to give to each group who brings in the most parents X amount of money for their particular group. Whether it's all the high school football players decide they're going to get everybody, all the band players, and they compete against one another, and then they'll get a donation into their...
like their booster group,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah. Also, Mark Merrow came in. I don't know if any of you got a chance to go see him, the wrestler, the professional wrestler. He was fabulous. I mean, absolutely probably one of the best speakers that I've heard. And the reason I liked him, it kind of follows what these kids are also doing. It wasn't the usual pound, don't do drugs. It was, you have choices. So here's the choice I made in my lifetime. Here's what it brought me. So I had to change my choice. So he laid it out in a fashion of making kids think about who they're hanging with, what choices they're making, how that determines their future, how it, what it did to his future and his dreams. And it was very cool. Impact 60 has said that if we would like them, him to be brought back to the high school and to Creekview, depending on what we felt as a board, you know, age-wise and stuff, that they would be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
And just and that when you, when you're mentioning Impact 60, that's a kind of a charitable fund,
yes,
that supports drug education, drug prevention,
yes,
youth development,
right,
in our community. So,
and that's what Bruce,
and, yeah, Bruce Daniels is the one who formed that fund.
It's just, it's really, really taking off. And to have this gentleman, I mean, it even goes for the bullying, not just drugs, but the bullying and what it makes these children feel like. And, I mean, you could hear a pin drop in that middle school. Mm. Those kids were so hanging on to every word that he did, and I just think it'd be great if we even started it at the Creekview level and brought it forward.
I'm sure that's something that,
and if we
feel
could
talk
that's
with
a
Mr.
thing,
Command,
I can go ahead and approve that with them if you feel that Creekview is 5th and 6th, or do we want to discuss that later?
I think, yeah, Diane can talk to
it. Okay,
yeah,
that'd be great, and that's all I have.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's see. Next up on our agenda, need a motion to approve the minutes from both our August 18th regular meeting and our September 12th special meeting. And just wanted to note that there was, that they did get updated since, I mean, just this afternoon.
Yeah, on your, the paper copy compared to what's on the computer right now, there was a minor change for both months.
Mm-hmm.
One, it was a grammatical change. Instead of ORC, it said ORD, so it was just changing that letter. And then also for the reason for executive session, instead of just stating the Ohio Revised Code number, it actually, we actually wrote out the
specific
purpose,
yeah,
specific
like the
reason,
specific purpose.
Okay. Right.
So we have a motion to approve those minutes. Motion by Mr. Smith. I'll second. Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Bowers?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve the treasure items. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Any comments on that?
Only thing out of the ordinary in there I would point out is our approving the amounts and rates, something we do annually in September each year. It's a legal requirement. Basically, the state auditor is putting out there the millage that the community has approved, and also an estimate on the revenue that millage would generate. And again, the main driver and the difference there is going to be that public utility personal property valuation that increased significantly is, you know, impacting that calculation.
Right. And it flows through all of, you know, all three of the funds, so the general operations and bonds and PI. So it's been a nice increase. Any questions? Nope. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. And next up, it's just a public hearing. There's no vote required on this, but we are required to have two hearings of the calendar. So this is our first chance to discuss the 2017-2018 district calendar. I'd like to make some comments.
So we have a committee that has worked with Jonathan to build this calendar, and they sent out options to the staff. We received feedback from the staff, made changes as appropriate to reflect that. One thing that might look a little odd to you when you look at it is the order of the calamity days.
Yes.
That was to protect the professional development day as the second day, so we wouldn't use that right off the bat again. Gotcha. And try to protect that. So if we need the second day, odds are we won't have one in March, let's hope. It would. That's why it's kind of out of order when you look at the calendar.
Okay. I was wondering about that. So, yeah, the start day would be August 15th, and the last day would be May 23rd.
Correct.
Hmm. Any questions or comments? Okay.
So where is this in the process? This is the first?
So this is the first hearing, and then it'll come back next month for approval.
Okay.
And first semester will end.
We have everything
usually like right before
Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Yeah, right, right. Which is a nice, that's a nice change, isn't it?
I used to have, I hated coming back and having four days,
and then
start exams.
Yeah.
It was like,
ugh. Didn't make a lot of sense, did it?
No.
And
it was a struggle. I like this much better. Yeah. I know it pushes things into August a little bit. But
right.
For the kids, I think this is much better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It gives our staff a little bit more chance to get in instructional time before certain assessments, too, right?
Yes.
Which is nice, yep. Okay, next up, we have, I would entertain a motion to approve our superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Ms. Mankins?
I would say certainly we have HR items on there and updates with salaries that people have submitted hours since mm-hmm. they've been hired. But most importantly, we have in my section our updated contract with the hospital, mm-hmm. certainly Memorial Hospital. In essence, in kind for their staff, is probably equates to about $150,000 that we receive from them in service. So we'd like to re-up that agreement. There are small revisions. We met with Chip Stacy initially in the spring, and I did again in the summer, so this is the final copy of that. So we certainly appreciate that. In trade, obviously, they're our preferred sponsor, and you see that in our gymnasiums and out in other places as well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a really nice benefit for our students and our coaches, you know, to have that kind of consistent presence there at practices and during games and everything. So, yeah, that's really nice.
I remember a time when we didn't have an athletic trainer. And, you know, too often a coach was responsible for trying to assess an injury. And
right.
It's not good.
I did notice one, the retirement of Senora Shellhouse.
Yes, so, effective at the end of the year. So right. We've kind of talked about that the past couple of years. If you turn that in before the end of the year, in essence, you're not subject to the OPEZ evaluation cycle. Mm-hmm. So she submitted that this fall.
Okay. And I noticed one other thing. Since it's the beginning of the school year, we do have a rather long list of volunteers, and if my math is correct, I believe it was 315 volunteers, and I think there might be a couple out in the audience tonight, maybe, not to name any specific names, maybe, yeah, a couple, but, you know, I think it's always important to make sure that we thank our volunteers and let them know how much we appreciate it, because our... Any other questions or comments? Mm-hmm. All right, roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we are to the point where we'll entertain comments and questions from board members. So, Ms. Savage, start with you.
Okay. So on August 31st, I had the opportunity to attend one of the first ESA stakeholder meetings, and they are going to be doing 10 stakeholder meetings throughout the state. It's an opportunity for different stakeholders, members of the community. It could be teachers, students, administration, contractors, whether software or textbook contractors, or just people in the community that have interest in the educational system. After a brief overview of the change points regarding Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaced the No Child Left Behind federal legislation, it's really giving the states much more opportunity to have input and say on what direction we want to drive education within the state. So after the brief overview, we got into a table discussion. We had a Department of Education member sitting at each of the tables taking notes. They're gathering all these comments that are being made based on this led discussion and funneling all the information into the plan that is going to be constructed by the Ohio Department of Education by January. So we're kind of on a tight timetable getting all this information. Jonathan has sent out a link to staff members and community members, and I'd like to encourage all of you that have interest or strong opinions to get on there and go ahead and take that survey and give your input. It talks about many, many topics. Assessments, accountability, scorecard, the non-academic indicator. It's very, very broad. But it's a good opportunity. One of the leaders that kicked off the meeting talked about how every state is being requested to do this activity, and he's familiar with what all the other states are doing, and Ohio by far is up and above what other states are doing. So they are trying to reach out to the community and make sure that our educational system is moving in the direction that our state members want it to move in. So one of the key things that we talked about at our table is credit for innovative ideas. And I think that Marysville has been very cutting edge on many innovative ideas. And I think there should be some credit based on districts that take that risk and sometimes achieve that reward. And sometimes it's a learning lesson.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just glad I have 11 grandkids in the district that get to do all this fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really unique, though, because I know, like with all, when I watch all of the grandkids, each of them all have different personalities and the way they do things, how they handle situations. So to see this tonight was really neat because I know that each one of them will succeed at a level that is equal to what they are. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Well, my grandson, one of my grandsons, was a participant tonight.
Yes.
So it was exciting for me. But what we had an opportunity to observe here, I know I have seen in this building, in these classrooms, every single day. It's that kind of instruction. It's that kind of challenge that the kids are given. And the kids respond to it. I know report card doesn't always reflect, and I guess, you know, sitting here listening to where we're going, what we've done, and I know people will look at the report card and say, you know, what's going on? But I know that, you know, those letter grades and so forth don't reflect what's happening in our buildings. It doesn't happen. It doesn't reflect what's happening in the lives of kids. So I hope as people look at that, we certainly take it, I certainly take it as there's room for improvement. There are things that we need to focus on. There's areas that we need to put forth greater effort. But I know that the kids are doing the right things, and the teachers are moving the kids along in their education. You know, start of the year, I've had a chance just to kind of drive around outsides of the buildings, I know in just running into a couple people, maintenance staff has been pulling yeoman duty, getting everything, all the floors polished and so forth. And every building I've ever been in this district, no matter what time of year you go in, the floors shined. Mm-hmm. They just shined. Bus drivers have, adjusted the routes in the start of the school day and picking up kids. And I haven't heard. I suspect there were some hitches here and there, but I know that we work all those things out. And the other day I was in here, Carol, I don't know what she was doing because she wasn't in her office, so she may not have been working. So, I was here king of Boardlandia,
yeah.
And in a fourth grade classroom project, and I stepped into the kitchen and they were doing the chicken rings. I knew chickens had fingers, and now they have rings. I know the staff here in the kitchen was preparing. I mean, it looked great. They were making up chef salads and stuff for the kids. So I know the kids are getting fed well, and I know the staff's been attentive.
Couple of comments. Yeah, mm-hmm. The report card is important, but it isn't everything, even though we all look at it and we take it seriously. But what Diane presented at the beginning of the evening was very impressive to me, looking at all the concerns that have been raised and going through one after another and showing the progress that's been made in so many different areas. So I was very impressed and excited to hear that. So thank you for making that presentation. There's a lot going on. The CBE was exciting to me. It's a teaching philosophy that resonates with me. I'm glad that you guys are putting time and energy and work into that, and I hope that it continues and that we can support it as much as the resources are needed. So thank you, and I appreciated the demonstration, especially because that helps me understand what you're talking about. The difference between when I was educated and what's going on now is profound, and I was able to get a taste of that. And also, as usual, appreciate the teachers so much more.
Right.
So thank you for that. The public participation tonight was welcome. Thank you for coming and sharing your concerns with us. I did want to say a couple of comments about that.
Yes, I have to apologize because I was planning to let you guys make some comments. So thank you.
No, that's okay.
Thank you for bringing it up now. Yeah.
The main concern I wanted to respond to is one of the comments was that some of the students are getting the idea that their input is annoying or doesn't matter. Was that?
Annoying, yeah. I think it was
okay.
Annoying. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say for myself, I agree with you, the schools belong to the community. We're here because we all believe in that. We all want to serve the community by helping the schools be as good as possible. And I can't do that unless I know what's going on. So no input to me is ever annoying, and it always matters. And I just wanted to point out, even though we can't have big, long discussions here, that doesn't mean that we don't want to talk and listen and follow up. So in addition
yes.
to the coffee,
right.
which is a good forum, we also have our email addresses on the website. Okay, they're not. We all live in this community, and we're available to talk about these things. So find that email. We can also meet after the meeting and make an appointment. Okay, that's how I feel about it anyway. I'm available, and I don't want this impression that the input is annoying or doesn't matter to continue, because it's just not true. The wrestling program matters. Everything that you guys have put into it matters, and what those kids think and what they're experiencing matters, and we're all in this together, so let's keep talking, okay? So that was my comment, and I thank you for coming and sharing your concerns.
I just wanted to make it clear that was...
I'm sorry. It's not a time to make comments right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Do you have any comments, Mr.
Well,
Johnson?
I would like to follow up with you after the meeting if you have a few
fine.
Minutes.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have nothing to add.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. Yeah. I mean, and I'll follow up with you. I mean, we are always We are interested in comments, but I want to remind people that the role of the board is not staffing. So when there are concerns, you can talk to us, but the best people to talk to are the people who have the power to make decisions on staffing issues. And so again, you know, sharing comments is fine, sharing your opinions is fine, but go to the person who can make a difference. We're not involved in the daily operations of the district, so I just want to make sure that's clear. And then I'd also like to thank Carol. Thank you so much for hosting our meeting again. Love having the students participate, and I have to admit that this might sound really nerdy, but at a wedding reception this summer, we actually did some number talks. So, yeah, we did, and I was one of those who's really excited to share how I got my answer. But, just happened to be with somebody who is a staff member in the district, and she was talking about how she had tried it for the first time and how exciting it was to see how her students were so engaged with it and just how excited they were with the whole learning process. So, okay, thank you. So we have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Ms. Powers, second by Mr. Smith. We have a roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. And the meeting is adjourned at 9:12.
Thanks for a long day.